Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. It was a bad day. I got a phone call. I was still in Wisconsin. It was super early in the morning. And it was the kind of phone call that as a pastor, you never look forward to, but sometimes they happen. It was a police officer asking me to be at a specific address. I knew the address immediately. I had just gone to see the woman the week before. She had passed away, and I was needed there. She had two sons. They were both older, and in fact, she was an older gal. I wouldn't say she was young by any stretch. But the question was, what was going to happen? Neither one of the sons were in a really good place, and you could just see the dominoes getting ready to tumble as I sat there on the street. They wouldn't let me in the house. I had to stand there. I stood there with the funeral home director, and him and I talked for quite a while as we kind of waited for the coroner to get there and so on and so forth. Now, even as I describe this, some of you guys are maybe going through your own memory lanes, those bad days that you've had where true tragedy struck. And that was kind of the way this was. It was a bad day. It was a bad day for me, but it was an especially bad day for the family members that had gathered around there. For them, everything changed. Life was going to be completely different. And you could just watch as the dominoes were beginning to tumble, both in their minds and eventually even in their futures. What was life going to be like? How was it going to be like? Both of them lived in the house. Both of them needed. And so they both found themselves without. It was a bad day. It was a really bad day. Have you ever had a bad day? I know I have. I've had bad days like this. I've had other kinds of bad days. I've had those days where you finally get a message and you're like, oh, wow. In a single moment, it feels like everything in the world has changed. Everything has changed. Nothing is going to quite be the same. Have you ever had that day? Have you ever had that kind of a bad day? I'm not talking about the bad day where you wake up late and you're a little bit late for work and maybe one of your coworkers isn't the nicest that day. I'm not talking about that kind of bad day. We've all had those kind of bad days. Maybe you're a student and you don't understand the coworker reference. Imagine you forgot your homework. Right? You forgot it at home. The teacher was really going to want it. We've had those days. No, I'm talking about the life-changing, life-altering, bad moment, bad day. Have you ever had one of those? I think a lot of us have. And one of the things that seems to be with those kind of days is you begin to yearn to know answers. What's going to happen? What does this mean? What does this mean for me and my future? How is this going to change things? And at first, you can only maybe think of one immediate thing, but then after a while, it begins to balloon, and you begin to realize it's going to change not just that one thing, but it's going to change all kinds of things. Makes you wonder what you're going to do. How are you going to do? Now for us, we have a gracious and wonderful gift. We can go to our Lord in prayer. We can go to our Lord anytime we want. Do you guys realize how awesome that is? That we can go to the Creator of all there ever is, was, and ever shall be in the blink of an eye in a moment through our prayers. We also at times look through Scripture to find answers. And sometimes maybe we get an answer, and sometimes maybe we don't, or maybe we don't get the answer we quite want. But I would I would challenge all of you that if you find yourself in a moment like that and you start turning to Scripture, don't ignore the book of Ruth. I know it's easy to do. It's a short book. It's a little book. And if we're really honest, ladies, I'm talking to you, it's a book filled with romance. Lots of romance. Oh yes, we have Boaz coming in to save the day, and we have this whole courtship between Ruth and Boaz, and we have this romance that's going to blossom and eventually lead to marriage, and eventually is going to be a redemption of the family line, Naomi's family line. What a beautiful thing. But that's not where it starts. And that's not why you should necessarily turn to the book. Don't get me wrong, it's a great message. It's a great element. But don't pass up these first few verses. The first few verses say a lot. Because remember, this isn't just a fun, nice story. For Naomi, for Ruth, for Orpah, this was their life. This is what they lived. Great famine in the land. So Naomi leaves with her husband Elimelech. They venture off to a place that's not Israel, that's not the promised land. And she has two sons. And that seems like a blessing. But then, and this is where it gets crazy, you have a 10-year span, a decade of destruction in which everything falls apart, the wheels come off, and the world begins to look bleak. First, Elimelech dies, and that's a tragedy. That's awful. That's absolutely awful. But at least she has two sons, and that's important in this time because you can't really carry on a family name without at least one son. You need a son. The family line goes on with the male heir. You don't have to like it, but it is the way and the world that Ruth lived in, that Naomi lived in. This is the way it was. And so she was blessed. She had two sons. But in this decade of destruction, both of her sons are dead. Both. You know, whenever your husband dies and then both your sons die, in that world, in that time, there's not much hope for you. Now, there was a process in Israel to basically reclaim your family line. But the timeline of this story is taking place in the timeline of the judges. And if there's one thing that we hear over and over again in the book of Judges, it's people were doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. They weren't necessarily following the way the Lord wanted it. They were following what they wanted to do. And so even that hope was lost. Look at where Naomi is. She is in a lost place with no hope. And so, yeah, she tries to send her two daughters-in-law off. Go back home. Go find a husband. Go somehow redeem your life. Don't be with me. This is hopeless. You can hear in how she speaks, right? Even if I was to have a son, were you going to wait until he gets older? And that's assuming I had a son today. There's no hope. And that's the message for us when we find ourselves in that position. Because you can find yourself exactly where Naomi was. There might be a point in your life where you felt that way, where you just looked out and you said, there's just nothing. Read the book of Ruth. Read the book of Ruth. Yeah, you might find yourself exactly where Naomi is. Every avenue that you look at, you just don't see much there. You don't see much going. But you see, one of the beauties of this book is that you get to see the small picture, but then you also get to see the larger picture. That's how this book starts, but I've already told you how it ends. God works even in this. God works even in this mess. God sends Boaz. He becomes the kinsman redeemer. By the way, that's not his place. He has to go and seek approval from somebody else to take somebody else's place as a kinsman redeemer, and all this kind of stuff happens. He ends up sacrificing his own inheritance in a way to redeem Naomi's through Ruth. But even that's not the big picture. For you see, in this, there is such a much greater picture than that. This is one of the family lineage of Jesus. This is one that is in the lineage. There's so much more. When you find yourself in the absolute worst, when you find yourself in a place where you can see no hope, where you can see no movement, where you can only see pain and hardship, look to the book of Ruth and be reminded of all the things that God has in store for you. Yes, it might not be on this earth. We might be talking about the new heavens and the new earth. We might be talking about the second coming of Jesus and being with our Lord and God forever and ever for all of eternity. We might be looking to that, but that's still a pretty good future if you ask me. In fact, I would say that's better than anything that this world has to offer. But things are not hopeless. Things are hopeful. We might not be able to see it. We might not be able to grab hold of it. We might be able to only say that there is no hope for me, come Lord Jesus. And yet, when we look out onto this world, when we look out into our lives, as we watch those dominoes fall, let us be reminded that no matter how bad things get, we have been redeemed by Christ crucified, and we have eternal life. We have the promise of eternal life through our Lord. What great news. I don't know what can be thrown at us that can defeat that. I don't think there's anything that can be. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.